Sam Cooke, yeah. Sam Cooke died in the 60s.
I thought so. Well, I'm sure wherever his consciousness is, he said, that's the way to do it. Thank you so much, Ben. Good job. All right. In a 1927 essay, the legendary horror author H.P. Lovecraft wrote, "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest kind of fear is the fear of the unknown." So we find that the unknown is there, and part of our response to the unknown is fear. Part of our response to fear is anger. Part of our response to anger is hate. Does this sound anywhere familiar to you at all in the world that we're living in now? I do think there's a lot of that going on. We have a major election coming up in a couple of months. You think there's any uncertainty about that? Any unknown about that? Well, if there is, you can bet along with that there is fear and anger and hate. We've been living in the midst of this pandemic for over 6 months now. Do you think there's any unknown, any uncertainty about that? I think so. And along with the uncertainty comes fear and anger and hate. We have situations in our social life that are challenging. There are situations coming to light involving the police where there's been systematic abuse and misbehavior among the police. There's uncertainty about where that's going, the unknown about where that's going. And along with that, there is fear, there's anger, there's hate. And what happens to us is that when we get so focused on the fear, we get so focused on the unknown, we get so focused on the uncertainty that we see nothing else. And when we look at these situations with our human eyes, all of a sudden every politician is bad. When we look with our human eyes, the virus is never going to end. When we look with our human eyes, all police are bad. When we look with our human eyes, demonstrations turn into riots, which turn into violence, which turn into death. So if we hold only our human vision, what we experience is going to be distorted and untrue. Now, all of that is present with us on one hand, on our human level of experiencing. But there's another hand as well, and that is our spiritual life, our spiritual beingness, which is critically important that we keep in mind. Now, if my research is accurate, and I think it is, more than 80 times in the Bible we find the encouragement to fear not. Don't be afraid. The scripture tells us that perfect love casts out fear. We also find an interesting fact that you find the appearance of angels through the Bible. And the word for angel, angelos, means messenger. And almost every time an angel appears, part of the message that that angel brings is this: don't be afraid. So while on one hand, from our humanness, fear is rampant, and along with it comes the anger and the hate. On the other hand, from our spiritual side, we see fear in a very different way because we are encouraged over and over, don't be afraid. In 2014, the world of entertainment lost a great actor, a great comedian in Robin Williams, as he took his own life while he was suffering from diffused Lewy body dementia, a mental and neurological disorder. Toward the end of his life, Netflix is in the process of creating, or maybe finished now, a documentary on the life of Robin Williams. And his wife asked him before he died, "When we get to the end of our lives and we're looking back, what is it we want to have done? Without missing a beat, he said, "I want to help people be less afraid." And she said, "I thought it was beautiful." And I said, "Honey, you're already doing that. That's what you do, and that's pretty great. I want to help people be less afraid." A very noble goal. And there was a quote that actually was the beginning point of this whole sermon. "A season of loneliness and isolation is when the caterpillar gets its wings." Remember that the next time you feel alone. A season of loneliness and isolation is when the caterpillar gets its wings. So on one hand, we have uncertainty and fear and anger and hate. On the other hand, we have hope. We have faith. We have a vision that sees things differently. We have all kinds of spiritual tools to support us in this. All the things that we teach here are things that you use in your everyday life. From the very beginning of my being a minister, I always wanted to give people things that they could take with them. I mean, we can get together and we can talk about lofty spiritual ideals and all kinds of wonderful things like that, but can you put it in your pocket and take it with you to work on Monday morning? Can you pull it out when you need it and use it in a situation that is challenging for you? We do have all kinds of spiritual tools to be able to do that. We teach you about meditation, not just for the sake of teaching you about meditation, but to be a useful tool in your everyday life. We teach you the use of mind power and thought power, not just to find yourself a parking place close to where you're going, but to live truly, powerfully. We teach you about prayer, about that connection with Spirit and how to utilize that. There are all kinds of other principles that are involved in Unity teachings that particularly from Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and other great New Thought teachers. We even have a paradigm called the 12 Powers by Charles Fillmore, which lists a set of principles that we utilize. And the question is, how do we bring what we have on our human side together with what we have on our spiritual side? How do we bring those things together because they're so different? Most people end up living on one side or the other and don't bring the two together. There are plenty of people who are completely immersed in the fear that is rampant right now. And there are other people that live in an ivory tower in their spiritual understanding and don't even think about the other side of things. And neither one of those is complete. Neither one of those is where we need to live continuously. So there are two of these many spiritual principles that we have at our disposal that I want to mention this morning that we can utilize in bringing together these two sides of life, our humanness and our spiritual life. And the first tool I want to mention is that of faith. You've heard faith talked about a great deal, and if you've studied metaphysics very much, you know the definition of faith, which is the perceiving power of the mind linked with our ability to shape substance. The perceiving power of the mind. And we all have that. Very often I hear people talking about, "Oh, if I just had enough faith." And they attribute their failures to not having enough faith. The Bible never talks about the amount of faith that you have. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to go jump in the ocean and it will. His point was that the amount of faith is not what is important. And whether you have faith or not is not a question that we need to even consider. You have that perceiving power of your mind. If you have a mind at all, you have that perceiving power of the mind. And faith allows us to see with our spiritual eyes what we can't see with our human eyes. In Scripture, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, "Now faith is a confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." So faith allows us to see that which you can't ordinarily see, to perceive that with spiritual perception what is not ordinarily perceived. And that's a powerful tool in bringing together these two sides of life, our human side and our spiritual side. As we've mentioned, there's all kinds of turmoil in our world right now. There's all kinds of unrest. There's all kinds of unknown in our world. Looking at it from a physical sense, a human sense, we have not very much hope that that's ever going to be different or better. Looking at it from faith, we see what is true. We can perceive with our spiritual capability what is really true in our world, despite the appearances and despite what we see in the news. If we look with faith at what's going on in our world, we see something revealed to us that is very important. And it would seem obvious, but sometimes we miss it, that we need to change some things in the world in which we live. When we see demonstrations where people are saying something's wrong here, that's important for us to look at that and to recognize that. When the issue of Me Too came up, that was not something new. Women and other minorities have been abused and misused and ignored and discriminated against for many, many decades. But it's coming to the surface now, bubbling to the surface. And many people don't want to look at it. They don't want to see it. They want to shove it back in the dark again. But when we look with the eyes of faith, we can see what is really there. And it is human beings standing up saying, this is wrong. This shouldn't be. And we want to change. And the demonstrators make that clear for us. So these movements that we find, these social movements, the Me Too and the Black Lives Matter and the others that have come up that have slogans now to put that out into the public, reveal to us a need for change. And if we see it with human eyes, we're threatened, we feel afraid, and we act accordingly. If we see those things with faith, with our spiritual eyes, we see the truth that is there and we respond appropriately. So faith can serve us in this powerful way of being able to see what is really true in the midst of all the chaos that's going on. There's a wonderful story that I heard from Michael Beckwith, who is the founder of the Agape Church out in California. He was telling about a time when he had opportunity to go to Australia and spend some time with some Aboriginal elders. And he got together with them and they took off out into the bush. They were going to do a ceremony out in the bush. They got that where they were going, it was getting dark, and they built a fire and they had the ceremony. He didn't talk much about what the ceremony actually was, but when the ceremony was over, they put the fire out and it was pitch black dark. And he wondered, we don't have any flashlights, we don't have any torches. How in the world are we going to get back through the bush in the complete darkness? So they started back and he was stumbling, falling over rocks and running into trees and not having a real good time. And then something happened. He began to see the energy field that was around all the objects. Because of his closeness with the Aboriginal elders, he realized that's what they were doing. They could see in the dark. They could see the energy around all the objects that were there, and he began to see it too. So with the eyes of faith, we can see things that we can't see with the eyes of humanness. And we can experience things in a different way with the perception of faith than we can with our humanness. So let us bring that faculty, that ability, that tool, that principle of faith to the forefront. And look at our world with the eyes of faith. Look at the turmoil with the eyes of faith. Look at the hate with the eyes of faith and see it differently and respond appropriately. Now, there's a second principle I think that goes hand in hand with this that works very well, and that is the principle of affirmation. Now, very simply, an affirmation is a statement of truth. And the reason that an affirmation is powerful is that words have power, thoughts have power. They have energy, and when we shape them in certain ways, they go forth to accomplish those purposes. So when we use affirmations, when we use statements of truth, we are putting out into the ethers of our world statements of truth, statements of power. And we do that with our faith. Now, you've heard taught in metaphysical circles, and particularly in Unity, about affirmative prayer. Now, if affirmation is a statement of truth, an affirmative prayer is a prayer that focuses on what is true. Rather than saying, "Oh God, I am so sick. God, I am so broke. God, I am so sad." Instead of starting and basing a prayer on what's wrong, what's not true, we begin our prayers and follow through on our prayers with what is true. So a prayer for healing begins not with the illness, but with the truth of health and wholeness. "Spirit, I affirm that I am perfect, healthy, and whole. And now I need to get rid of this cold that's running through my body." Do you see the difference there? An affirmative prayer focuses on what is true. What about affirmative living? I don't think I have ever heard that phrase before. Affirmative living, what would that be? That means living based on what is true and not what is false. Is fear true? No, it is not. But people base their life on that. If we use the truth, "I am at peace," and we live our life according to that, we can see what is in the world in a different way, in an accurate way, with the eyes of faith. So affirmative living is based on what we believe and know to be true within our own heart. And the affirmation serves us in a powerful way. Now, there's a story that I tell every time I read the 23rd Psalm. I almost always use it at memorial services, and this story is so dear to my heart. A little girl was given the responsibility of reciting the 23rd Psalm up in front of the whole church. And her mother, thinking to help her, said, "Honey, if you forget where you are, just stop and take a deep breath and then start all over again." So the little girl got up to do her task and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And then she put her hands on her hips and said, "And that's enough for me." So that has stuck with me down through all the years since I've heard that. "And that's enough for me. That's enough for me." Over and over, I have used that statement in my own life. "And that's enough for me." So I close with these thoughts. With my faculty of faith, I perceive the truth of the darkness. I affirm that light will prevail. And that's enough for me. With my faculty of faith, I perceive the truth of aloneness. I affirm that oneness will prevail, and that's enough for me. With my faculty of faith, I perceive the truth of hate. I affirm that love will prevail, and that's enough for me. With my faculty of faith, I perceive the truth of the unknown, and I affirm that truth will prevail. And that's enough for me. With my faculty of faith, I perceive the truth of fear. And I affirm that comfort will prevail. And that's enough for me. God bless you, my friends.
And now, as we come to a time when we ask for your donations. We ask for you to consider if you have dollars that you are able to spend right now, would you place them here with us and help us continue on with our teachings? I hope that you receive something of value today, as Lawrence said, that you can take home with you, put it in your pocket, and have it for when your week begins tomorrow. You know, at Unity, we were founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore from their own experiences with affirmative prayer way back at the end of the 1800s. And they went through the Depression and many hard times as they kept their ministry going. And it is repeated many times, a beloved story where the staff said to Myrtle one afternoon, "Well, let us pray that the money holds out." And Myrtle replied, "No, let us pray that our faith holds out." So as we continue to go through this period of deep change, and are challenged in so many areas, some of us much more than others. Let us continue to affirm that indeed we are a spiritual community and we will hold the high watch for all. And so as you consider if you can give today, I would ask that you continue. Those who have been sustaining us, we thank you so very much. We appreciate every effort. So let us take our offering blessing. There are many ways to give, as you've seen on your screen. Certainly the donate button on the website, or mailing into our office a check, or setting up bill pay. So all of those many ways, let us bless them now. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.